Well, we are so excited because along with the Deep Light, you need a lot of information, I really do think. And we are so happy to welcome to the Women's Show, National Organization of Women, most of us know it as now, Executive Vice President Olga Vivez. And Olga Vivez, welcome so much to the Women's Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, we are pretty excited with so many things happening, new administration coming in very shortly, and we hope a little different attitude, particularly to so many aspects in women's lives. And so tell me, on your agenda, number one, are you excited about the change in administration?
Oh, unbelievably excited. I think that we've had 8 years of a lot of fighting for women's rights and not advancing at all and trying to keep what we have, but going backwards. And we're looking forward to a president that understands how equality is important for the country and for the world. And I think that in President-elect Obama, we have someone that at least understands and listens to the issues and hopefully will make the right decisions for women and for all people in this country.
Well, you know, I wish he had more women that he's, nominating to be cabinet positions, but he's got Hillary, Secretary of State. Are you excited about that?
We're very excited about that. I think she will make a tremendous Secretary of State with her experience and her the fact that she's so well-liked all over the world and the work that she has done here in our country. I think she is the perfect pick at this point in time when we have to reestablish ourselves as a legitimate country that sticks with our values.
And what about Hilda Solis, Labor Secretary?
Oh, it was so excited about her. She's really an ally, has worked on many issues, has been a leader in the Congress on women's issues, and having her as a Secretary of Labor where she will reestablish the rights of working people that have been so decimated by this administration, I think it will be a tremendous effect on women in particular. I don't know if you know this, but the Bush administration eliminated the Bureau on Women's Issues at the Labor Department. They had been there since Eleanor Roosevelt established it. The Labor Department in the last 8 years really has not been on the side of workers, but on the side of corporations. And we really are hoping that Hilda will bring her expertise and her devotion to working people to that department and totally reestablish the department as a legitimate entity.
And in that direction, I know now is really excited, and many other women's groups are excited, in really trying to elevate the whole role of women and women's issues in the cabinet. And actually, they would like to have a cabinet position, wouldn't they? Something about that?
Yeah, we have called along with at least, I think it was about 50 women's organizations for a Department of Women's Affairs or the Women's Office at the White House at the cabinet level. And this was somewhat done by President Clinton. There was an Office of Women's Affairs at the White House, and what that did was provide a direct communication with the administration on issues that were important to women or even in legislation that was being drafted to make sure that women's issues were included and not forgotten. As you know, it's always a struggle to keep reminding people about the fact that we are 53% of the population, and by any measure, we're not equal in this country. We are asking this time that this office be reestablished but expanded to be at a cabinet-level position so that we have a direct link to the president and bring to the president issues that we feel are very important for women to advance and to achieve full equality finally.
And, you know, I think, Hilda, the thing that I'm so excited about, because also some other women that are suggested for cabinet positions, and I think they are just fabulous. Janice Napolitano, now I think that woman just has incredible talent. The same thing with Lisa Jackson and Susan Rice with the UN. And you know, I think what excites me so much, and I think what's so challenging, for women right now, because we have been so marginalized, really, except for the Clinton administration, for the last 20 years.
Exactly.
And and it's been such a battle, and as you are so aware, just to keep the small things we have gained, and in fact we kept losing, and yet we are on a totally new world, not just a new administration here, but everything is happening, the economy imploding, et cetera, and what are we going to do about Iraq and Afghanistan, et cetera. And I think the thing that I think is so exciting to me with Janet Napolitano, Susan Rice, et cetera, and people like that with Hillary, is that I hope that, you know, that we can get back not only some of the things we've lost and establish some real ground safety nets, you might say, for women, but also in addition to that, to have really women's input into international and foreign affairs, particularly women being very much involved in issues of war and peace, bringing it really to me the substantive, really moral values that women can bring to the table, which to me have been sadly lacking.
Well, definitely. And, you know, we must point out that the United States, you know, while the number of women in Congress has tripled since 1985, we still rank 66th in the world in terms of women's representation. You know, some countries, they have a higher percentage of women legislators than the U.S. include Rwanda, Cuba, Germany, Afghanistan, and Mexico, and we're 66. Now, there has to be, in my mind, a connection between the lack of representation in Congress and in the decision-making roles of women in this country with the bad decisions that have been made. Because, frankly, you know, we're 53% of the population in the United States, and we're only represented in Congress at about 16%. You know, this last election, while we celebrate all the results, we only increased our representation by 1% in Congress. At this rate, it will be generations before we see some parity here. Women remain a minority in the highest positions of this nation. So, you know, and in the world, actually. But we are way far behind. And, you know, anything that happens in this country affects women at a larger rate, including when there's economic downfall, because we earn less. You know, we don't have economic parity. I was just reading the other day some very astonishing number, is that the disparity in wages costs a woman that starts her career at 25. If it costs her $500 million over a 40-year span, because there's no
billion,
wage parity.
Billion or million?
$500 million.
Right. Okay. Oh, you do mean $500 million.
$500 million. It costs her $500 million. If women had parity, each one of us over a 40-year career would contribute to the economy $500 million more, you see. And today, by any measure, and people can argue this number, but, you know, many studies show that today still we make 77 cents out of every dollar a man makes. And, you know, we have improved, because when I joined the movement, we made 59 cents. But 60% of the improvement in the wage gap during the last 15 years are attributed to the decline in men's earnings, not in our advancing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because I think we've got a completely new economic ballgame. And I think that this is it's a perilous time, but at the same time, it's very exciting. So when Barack and other leaders now are really trying to figure out how to economically stimulate and get this country back on a footing where people really can survive, I think it really is going to be important for some of the projects that I'm seeing suggested that they aren't as, quote, labor intensive as that one might like. But also, I'm very concerned that where are women, because women also are high in the unemployment. They are also the ones that are really hurting with the wages and making less. And so in this economic recovery programs that, you know, are going to be needed to bring this country back on its feet, I think it's really urgent that really a real attention is given that women have to be included in this.
Yes, and we're working hard here to with the transition teams to make sure that the jobs, whatever job creation that there is not just concentrated on construction. And if there are, that there are, you know, certain, I would say, set-asides, you know, for women to be able to get into those jobs, because the unemployment rate for women is the same as for men. And it's even worse for women of color. So, you know, it's very important that is, and we are attending a lot of meetings here to make sure that that's not forgotten. You know, that women get their share of opportunities in the new jobs that are being created. But also, you know, healthcare, major issue. 17 million women under the age of 65 are either uninsured or have been uninsured in the past year, and it's even higher for women of color. You know, we need to make sure that there is a healthcare initiative that addresses you know, everyone, but in particularly so many women that are in need of healthcare coverage. So there's a lot to be done, and we want to be patient, and we want to be aware of what is possible and not possible. But we are hoping that in the next 2 years, because after 2 years, you know, there's a new election coming, and the first 2 years that we make significant progress in trying to advance some of these bread and butter issues. We're not even talking about, you know, anything that's pie in the sky. It's survival issues for women that are very important here.
And also, you know, so much is being compared, you know, to the Depression and all the Reconstruction efforts and the CCC, et cetera. And so, you know, I'm also seeing about revitalization of the steel industry, et cetera, and I happen to think all of that is very important. But at the same time, and I think particularly this really, I think, concerns women, and actually everybody, the infrastructure in the sense of the human infrastructure in this country has been breaking down for a long, long time. And so we need better schools. We need better health care, as you just said. And in context with that, you know, with the crisis in the health care, that I think a great deal of attention should be given to totally redoing that infrastructure. And so we have the health care for everybody, and that includes, you know, not only the, you know, the hospitalization, but far more important, the kind of facilities you can give to both the very young and the elderly that can help them along. And so this really is the time, to me, of a very different vision and really a sense of what government means and is responsible to people and what demands people have in sharing that responsibility. So it's not just going to an upper tier that we have been aware that just squandered it away in just their own personal private greed. And so I think the challenges right now are deeper than we've ever had.
Absolutely. But, you know, there are certain things that can be done slowly and that with a lot of, you know, without a lot of, you know, barriers. For example, increasing the minimum wage. You know, if the minimum wage were to be $9.50 by next year, that would put $4,000 more into poor women's pockets, into women that are making the minimum wage now. And so things like that, you know, are really something that is not that painful for the country, but it would be such a benefit to women. I know that President-elect Obama has promised to work on the minimum wage because, you know, that is really an important issue for women that are in the service industries and other, by the way, the most likely to be laid off under the economic, you know, downturn. The people that work in restaurants, the people that work in hotels, and, you know, those are the jobs that typically women are filling today.
Well, you know, and on your website now, the National Organization of Women, you have a feminist agenda for 2009, and it is absolutely excellent. I think you have something like 9 major areas.
Right.
And you know, I read through those pretty carefully, and we don't have time to begin to go through all of them because there really are so many. And I think I was so saddened because, you know, doing the women's show, we've been aware, certainly in the last 8 years, that it's almost been a weekly battle just to protect and try and keep some of the things. And you know, we've alluded to some of the economic problems, which just go across the board. But, you know, we haven't even mentioned reproductive rights and sexual health. You know, and starting with the global gag rule that we realized that President Bush, the very first thing he did when he was inaugurated way back when, 2000, that, you know, he reinstated the gag rule that Reagan had imposed and Clinton had done. And then, you know, sex discrimination, health care, and violence against women. And I just really recommend that people go to your website and go through all of these issues. Because number one, I find one has a sense, really, of kind of the assault that's been going on women particularly for the last 8 years. but also all the many areas. And I can't believe there aren't some areas that every single person would really consider their real main focus, because there is so much work to do.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I encourage your listeners to go to www.now.org, and you can read there what our asks are. And regarding the global gag rule, we're hoping that on the first day of President Obama's inauguration day, that will be one of his first acts to lift the gag rule that is estimated it kills about 80,000 women all over the world every year.
Well, now, Hilda, or Olga, excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't know why I want to keep calling you Hilda when it's Olga Vives, and she's the executive vice president of NOW. And, what issues, because we just can't, as I say, cover all of these things. But other than the economics, which is so important, reproductive rights, sexual health, the gag rule, what are some of the areas that NOW is particularly focusing on?
Well, in the area of reproductive rights, we are very disturbed by the last act of one of the last acts of the Bush administration with the issuing new regulations or new rules from the Health and Human Services Department that allows people what's called a conscience clause. That is, if you're a pharmacist or you're a doctor and a woman comes to you and wants contraceptives, so even the morning after pill, they can deny giving you those pills based on their conscience. That is absolutely an outrageous regulation that has been imposed. Now, it will take a few months to reverse that. But as of now, any doctor in this country, any pharmacist in this country who does not want to give you contraceptives or even prescriptions for the morning after pill or emergency contraception can refuse to give them to you because the Bush administration has put that in place. That to us is an absolute outrage, and people should, really should be very concerned about that. We're going to work hard to try to reverse it, but again, it's not something simple. It's a regulation by the Health and Human Services Department that needs now go through hearings and all that. That is on top of our agenda. We also have to talk about the repealing the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment was imposed by Congress in that tax dollars cannot be used for women asking for abortions. This is what happened in the military. Where women are in need of an abortion, they cannot be obtained because the government will not fund it, or women that are on public assistance. That really prevents women without means to exercise a right to a safe and legal abortion. We have to work hard on that. That's going to take a lot of work. But we believe that abortion is neither safe nor legal in this country until all women have the right, not just some, just those that can pay for it. So there is a lot of work to be done on that. Of course, preventing the Supreme Court from enacting any other restrictions on abortion. I don't think that, and the good thing about it is that this is a pro-choice president. I don't think that he will sign any law coming through Congress that would undermine a woman's right to choose. And so that's what we had with Bill Clinton. And, at least we held our own with, of course, with President Bush. We have a bad Supreme Court already, and it got worse under him. And so we're trying to hold our own there, but also reverse some of these restrictions, like the Hyde Amendment, that have been so bad for women, particularly women without means, and it's just unfair.
It is, and listening to that, I was thinking, because I've been following it, we've been following also, about those changing those regulations in HAS, and to me, I had no doubt that it would go through the very last minute, which it did, because to me, it was kind of bookends, which you would expect of this administration. The
right.
GLAG rule, global GLAG rule, the very first thing, and one of the last things, is to really put the conscience clause in, which really, really restricts women's, ability to get birth control all the way around and not just abortion. And to me, it was just the expected bookend.
Yeah, it was incredible. And also, you know, we need to work with the FDA to lift the age limit on emergency contraception. It's now only available over the counter for women over 18. You know, so, you know, a 15-year-old that has a need for emergency contraception. This is to avoid pregnancies. And these people are so, I mean, there's no sense to what they're doing, because if you don't want abortions, let's reduce the number of unintended pregnancies. And so, you know, by denying people contraceptives or denying the emergency contraception pill, you increase the chances of unintended pregnancies. And so, you know, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. And what do we tell you? I'm very glad that they're going to be gone in the next few weeks.
I don't think too many. Well, the majority of people in this country certainly agree with you. And so, you know, Olga Vives, we're so happy from now that you've given us this time today. And the biggest thing, and we will be following a lot of these issues much more carefully on the show as they come up, et cetera. But just wanting to particularly alert people, because I really was impressed with Now's Agenda for 2009 on your website. And I think it's a really good place for people to go and really, as I say, review the areas that they really need to give some attention to and not be discouraged that it seems so long. But rather see it as opportunities, you know, and just about every area of our lives. And so I really want to thank you for giving us this time today. I know in the holiday time, time for all of us is so precious. And so thank you so much for giving us this time.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, okay. You take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.